We'll bow our heads in prayer once more briefly. Pray together and then hear the word of God. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank thee for that verse we read earlier on this morning from the book of the minor prophet Zechariah. By might, by power, by my spirit, saith the Lord. We thank thee for the relief that that must have brought in those days of thy people as they faced such great challenges in rebuilding that second temple of Jerusalem, restoring things in those days. Our Heavenly Father, we ourselves, Lord, face many challenges, not least, Lord, in undertaking thy work, preaching the word, hearing these things, facing another new week. But we thank thee that as thy people we can seek to do these things, not in our own strength, but in thine, O Lord, which is infinite and without end, without limit. O our Father, therefore we pray, grant to us all sufficient grace today. Indeed, grant us grace for all our lives, not before the time that we need it, but as we need grace. Help us to ask for it, to look for it, and to receive it, to rejoice in it, to praise thee for it. So do hear us, and do help us now, we pray. Do it to the glory of thy name alone. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, this morning, I'd ask you to turn with me to one of the Apostle Paul's pastoral epistles, his epistle to Titus. It is the chapter that I read earlier on to you. Second reading, Titus chapter 3, and the verse that we started the meeting off right at the beginning, verse 7. We read this verse, important verse, mentions what we're going to be looking at this morning, indeed what we started looking at last week, and God willing, what we'll be considering for a little while to come, justification. Paul there wrote to Titus that being, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are justified and right in the sight of God and ever will be. Being justified by his, by God's grace, by God our Saviour's grace, if you look back to previous verse, we, so Paul there is including himself and Titus and all believers, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So being justified by the grace of God, we should be made heirs. We are heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, last time on Lord's Day morning, and it was after a few weeks' break for my holidays, we resumed looking together at what I'm describing as the new creation. The old creation is the creation of the heavens and the earth. The new creation is God creating a people to himself and his church, the church of his Son, Jesus Christ. The new creation really is how Christians become Christians and what it is to be a Christian. And on that occasion, we started under this subject or theme, we started looking together at justification, because every single Christian believer, male, female, boy or girl, what is true of them is that they are justified and right in the sight of God, and not under any condemnation anymore, not under the curse. They've been declared not guilty by God. So we looked at regeneration in times past, conversion, pardon. We started to look at justification by faith alone. I ask you this morning, my dear friend, as we start this message, this sermon, as you come here, I know there are regulars here, members here, those of you that are visiting, those on holiday, and I don't know you, well, I know some of you, but I don't know many of you here this morning, and I just ask, are you part of this new creation? Are you a Christian man, woman, boy or girl? Have you come into the church of Jesus Christ, his body, part of his bride? Are you somebody who has been justified not by anything that you have done, not by works, lest you might boast of anything that you've done or that you are? Are you somebody who's been justified by believing in Jesus only, trusting in Jesus' finished work, not only in his death upon the cross, but also believing in his perfect life of obedience to God's law, which we couldn't do ourselves because of our sinfulness and because of the weakness of our flesh. Are you a justified individual? Is there anything better than that this morning? Will there ever be anything better than this, to be right with God? We come into this world all wrong, wrong with others, wrong with our God, wrong with God our Creator. But through this work of his, as he applies it to us, as he declares this, we can be right with him on the basis of the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, that is what justification is. It's what we saw last time. Justification is, here is a definition of it, it is a judicial act. It's God acting as judge, as though in his law court. God acting as judge, a judicial act of God in which he declares, God declares on the basis, notice, and only on the basis of the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ, that all the claims of the law upon us are satisfied and satisfied forever with respect to the sinner, with respect to you and me, if we become believers in Jesus. And that is the condition. That's what's so very important. These things come to us by believing in Jesus Christ. Well, that's a definition from a man called Louis Berkhof, who wrote extensively about these things. And we don't understand everything about things like this justification. It is a long word. It's quite a detailed definition, and many have written many things about these, books on these things. But at least we can get something of an intellectual grasp upon them, and we can know that they're ours if we trust in Christ. Well, on that occasion again, we looked at six similarities between justification and pardon, because that is what we looked at previous to this. Because although these two blessings of God differ in a number of ways, we could look at the differences this morning, and are to be distinguished, not to be totally separated, they are to be distinguished. In other ways, they are very closely connected, in agreement, and not to be separated. And these were the similarities that we considered. First of all, that both of these things are all of God. Pardon of our sins is from him. Only God can pardon sin. And our justification is from God. We're justified by him. It is something that he does. He declares as God our Saviour. Secondly, that both of these things are all of grace. All of God's grace towards you and me. We are sinners. We deserve to die. We deserve to go to a lost eternity. We deserve to go to hell. And so if God is to move toward us, if God is to save us, to make the unjust just, make the ungodly to be Christ-like and godly, it's got to be all of his grace, all of God's unmerited and undeserved favour towards you and me. It's all of grace. It's all of God. It might be all to his glory. It is also, both of these things are by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his death, by his cross. We are pardoned because Christ took our sins upon himself and paid the penalty of them upon the tree. We are justified also because Christ died, not only because of the death of Christ, his passive obedience on the cross, but also by his active obedience. It does come in here. The death of Christ is also towards our justification, but not only. Fourthly, both of these things are for the same people. You either have both of these things, or you don't have either of them. That's the thing about the kingdom of God. That's the thing about becoming a Christian. If you become a Christian, you have these things. You have pardon. You have acceptance with God. You're right with God. But if you're not a Christian, my dear friend, you have nothing at all spiritually. You have no spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But if you're in Christ, you have them. You have them all, and you have these. Both of these things start and are completed together in them, not only in the mind of God, but in the application of them. My dear friend, it's when you believe in Jesus Christ, you're both pardoned from all things by which you couldn't be pardoned by the works of the law. All your sins, past, present, and future, and God, instantly, you are right with God the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. They start and finish together, and can never be overturned. And sixthly, both of these things are received or by or through the channel or the instrument of faith. And God willing, tonight we're going to consider saving faith in more detail. We concluded by asking whether or not God, by grace and by the blood of our Saviour Jesus Christ, at the same time, by or through faith, has justified and pardoned you. Is that where you are this morning, spiritually? Is that your spiritual position? Is that your spiritual situation? Is that your spiritual status this morning? Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee his praise should sing? Not only forgiven, but also justified in the sight of God. So we're looking at those things last Lord's Day morning. We continue to look this morning at the new creation, becoming and being a Christian. We continue to look at this, being right in the sight of God. Now, by going on to from the similarities between pardon and justification, and those things in which they differ, those things in which they are not the same, they are connected. A number of things, they share things. They have similar things together. They are in agreement. But in other respects, they are very different indeed. And I think what you and I are going to find this morning is this. That we're going to praise God for the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ our Lord and through faith in him. But what we're going to find is this. That in justification, we have even more than pardon. That pardon is a part of justification, but it is not all of it. Justification is more. And that is just like our God, my dear friends, as believers. He is a God who gives us more and more in the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only forgives us, but he also does other things as well. So let's look at the differences, a number of differences between these two. The first is this. That justification by faith in Jesus Christ, when we're leaning on Christ and trusting in Christ and looking to Christ, does more for us, first of all, by way of declaration than pardon. See, what do you mean by that? It doing more by way of declaration. It pronounces more concerning me than pardon. It does more for me in this way. What I mean by that is this. That justification declares the sinner, when we believe in Jesus, and when Christ's righteousness is imputed to us, which he wrought throughout the whole of his life, justification, God declares us righteous in his sight. We become righteous, not our own righteousness. We're not dealing here with an imparted righteousness. God making us better. God making us good. He does that as well in our sanctification. But in this, he declares us righteous in his sight. We become a righteous people. We become a people right in his sight. We have peace with him in this way. And it is as though we had never sinned against God. We had never broken his law. We'd never been disobedient. We'd never been rebellious. As though we'd never sinned against him, our holy God. Justification is just, not only just as though we'd never sinned, but just as though we'd perfectly kept the law of God. We didn't ourselves. That's something that Christ did for us. This is why we love him so much. So this is something that declares us righteous as though we'd never sinned against God. I'll give you an illustration of this. The illustration is of somebody who, for whatever reason, has to go to a court of law, and he is examined, prosecution, and so on. But at the end of the session, at the end of his trial, he is declared to be not guilty. It is not as though he's done something wrong. It's not as though he is a criminal, and then he's declared to be guilty and then pardoned. This is him going to a court of law. He's coming before the bar. He's coming before the judge. And at the end of the trial, he's declared to be not guilty altogether. That is what it's like for you and me, to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not guilty. God looks upon us in Jesus Christ, even though we're fallen individuals, even though we come into this world sinners, inheritors of Adam's original sin, and have done so many sins, God looks upon us, it is as though we've never sinned and perfectly kept God's law. Not ourselves, but Christ doing it for us as our surety and as our substitute. Pardon doesn't do this. It doesn't do as much as this. Even though God does pardon his people, his believing people, of all their sins, past, present, and future, in pardon we remain and we retain the name of sinners, even though we are pardoned sinners. So you see, justification does more. Forgiveness is just a part of this. Justification does more than pardon. Again, if you go back into that law court, someone who again is tried in the court of law, and he is declared to be guilty, but then he is pardoned. He's still known as a criminal. He's still known as somebody who's broken the law. He's been prosecuted, but he has been pardoned. He's a pardoned criminal. And that's what forgiveness does. We're pardoned, but we keep the name of sinner, if you like. But in justification, it is though we'd never sinned. You see, my dear friend, what a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. I wouldn't want to be anything else. I wouldn't want to be anyone else but this. Just to be a Christian this morning. And when you read through the Bible, especially the New Testament, you read about the Apostle Paul, you read his epistles. The one thing that the Apostle Paul gloried in, there is a sense in which he had gloried in his office, in his apostleship that God gave him to go and preach the gospel to the Jews, but also, of course, to the Gentiles. But the one thing that the Apostle Paul gloried in was simply being a Christian, was being in Christ, was being a forgiven person, being a person who was right with God. He was a servant of Jesus Christ. Don't know what you are as a Christian, my dear friend. What office do you hold, or whether you don't hold any office whatsoever? The thing that you should rejoice in. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ. He told the disciples not to rejoice the spirits were subject to them, but their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice in that if you've been redeemed from all evil and from all your sin, and that these things are true of you. Has justification done more for you by way of declaration than pardon has? It would have done if you're a true believer in Christ. Well, the second point is this. Justification doesn't only do more for us by way of declaration than pardon. It also does more for us by way of imputation than pardon. And imputation, when we think about imputation, is something, as it were, being put to our account. It's like an injection of funds into a financial account, into a bank account. But this, of course, has to do with spiritual things. Spiritual finances, if you like. Our spiritual bank account before God. Justification does more for us by way of imputation than pardon. Why is that? Well, because justification as a whole is by imputation. The imputation to us of our Lord's righteousness. Listen to Paul in his epistle to the Romans chapter 4 and verse 6. He says, even as David, he's going to quote David from Psalm 32 and verse 1. He says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, and here it is, to whom God, this is true of not only the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints as well, you and me, if we are true Christian saints, to whom God imputes righteousness without works. Justification is a matter of imputation. And Psalm 32 and verse 1 is, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and sins are pardoned. But pardon is not a matter of imputation. What is it a matter of? Pardon is not imputed to us, but is the non-imputation of our sin to us. It's still a lovely thing, it's still a glorious thing. But pardon is not by imputation. Justification is, righteousness is imputed to our account. We find ourselves spiritually rich and wealthy, a fortune in Jesus Christ. We are right with God. But in pardon, pardon isn't put to us. It's granted to us. It's where it's spoken to us. It's applied to us. But it's more of a negative thing, isn't it? Actually, you can pick it up like that, aren't we? The difference between these two. It's not only one is more than the other, but in forgiveness is more of a negative thing. Justification is more of a positive thing. Imputation. Pardon the non-imputation of our sin to us. And the second subheading under this main point is this. Justification does more by in this way than pardon, because the former imputes to us like being clothed. Lovely, isn't it, to get new clothes? Ladies here this morning, I bet you love to get new clothes. Men are the same. Not perhaps as good as shopping to get them, but it's really nice to get a new shirt, a new tie, a new suit. When you become a Christian, what does God do? When you believe in Christ, he does this. He imputes to us like being clothed by a new robe, the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why I read to you from the minor prophet Zechariah in the third chapter there and verse 4. We read these words, and he answered, the angel answered and spake to those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from Joshua. That is not Joshua as in the book of Joshua at the beginning of the Old Testament. This is a man who was at that time when God's people were coming back from captivity. Joshua the high priest. Take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, behold, I've caused your iniquity to pass from thee. And I will, here it is, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. It's a bit like an illustration, isn't it, of justification. Not in the negative, but there is the positive. And I will, there's the promise, I will clothe thee with change of raiment. But in pardon, it's just the negative thing. Still great. It takes away, like a filthy garment, our sin for us. If you want to go back to the verse in Zechariah, it's that part where it says, take away the filthy garments from him, and I've caused your iniquity to pass from thee. So these things are a matter of imputation. When we believe in Christ, righteousness is imputed. Pardon is not imputed. It's the non-imputation of our sin to us. But in this, becoming a Christian, God takes away, like a filthy garment. He not only takes us away from the filthy garments of our own righteousness, which are filthy rags, but he takes away all our spiritual vileness in his sight. And he clothes us. Isn't this very often how saints are described? When they're described being in glory, they are robed. They're in bright robes. What is the robe that Christians wear? It is the righteousness of Christ. It is spiritual raiment. God has clothed us with this. And that is why, my dear friends, both in death as Christians and also in judgment, we can say like Count Zinzendorf, we can be bold in that day because of this, because of our Lord's blood, because of his death, and because of his righteousness. So my dear friend, you don't have to listen to the devil when he accuses you. You're wearing Christ's righteousness. You don't have to be afraid when you're dying. You're right in the sight of God. You don't have to be afraid even at the judgment, because you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, my dear friends, what a privilege it is to be a Christian this morning. Do you feel like that this morning? You wouldn't want to be anybody else, no matter who it is in the world, no matter how important, no matter how prominent, no matter how prestigious, whatever job they have, however much money they have, however many possessions they have, you would not swap your position for anything. The only thing, the only sense in which you would kind of desire to swap your position is, like Paul and like Moses and others, is in order that others might be converted. It's the only sense. Because you glory in your position in Christ. So is justification also done this for you? More for you by way of imputation than pardon. The third thing is this. It even does more for us by way of adoption than being pardoned. Because this teaching, this doctrine of believing it, been appropriated to us, entitles you. It gives you the right, it gives you the privilege to have everlasting life. How many people are going after that these days? They want to live a little bit longer. They buy the latest thing to make them look younger. People who are going to leisure centres and working out, even on the Lord's Day, they want to live a little bit longer. Every single Christian has been given the gift of everlasting life. And in this quantity of life, an abundant quality of life, we've been granted everlasting life, glory and happiness through this, through justification. Again, Romans is the big epistle on this, isn't it? Chapter 5, verse 18. Paul there writes, therefore, as by the offence of one Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. But then he says, even so, by the righteousness of one, not us, Jesus Christ our Lord, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. That is what this gives to us. It gives us life, eternal life. It gives us glory. It locks heaven to us. And it gives us true and abiding and deep and wonderful happiness. That's why a man like Martin Luther gloried in this and God through this. Because when he believed in Jesus Christ and became right in that way in the sight of God, he said, when I broke through, when I understood this teaching, it's as though the key of heaven went in through the lock and heaven's door was opened to me. That's what it does. Justification entitles us to everlasting life, glory and happiness. And Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, we started with. There Paul says to Titus in that pastoral epistle that being justified by his grace, notice, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The illustration here is this, is of a king not only pardoning a criminal, but then he does more. There's another legal work to be done. He then also legally adopts him as his son and heir to his kingdom. See, justification does more. Pardon doesn't do this. It does deliver us from the guilt and punishment of our sins, and we praise God for that. But it doesn't add to us. It doesn't give us these things. It's the negative side, if you like. It's one side of the coin. Here's the positive side. Justification gives us all this and more. The final thing is this then. It does all this. It's more for us in all these ways. The last way is this. Justification does more for us by way of devotion towards our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ than the forgiveness of our sins. And there are two reasons for this. The first is that our justification required not only the passive obedience of our Saviour, required him not only to go to the cross, and this was in a sense enough for us to love him forever and throughout all eternity, to go to the cross, to suffer, to die, to make an atonement for our sin, to physically die upon the cross, and afterwards for his body to be buried. Justification required that, but it also required the active obedience of his life. His holy nature, his perfectly holy life, his perfect obedience to the law of God, his coming into this world under the law to deliver those who are under the law, to fulfill all righteousness for us. Justification required both things. The passive obedience, the death of Christ, his agony upon the cross, his suffering for all our sins there, not in the previous agony before he went to the cross, Gethsemane and Gabbatha, but also Golgotha. Justification also required his life's obedience, his life's work. And because he's done both in this, surely, my dear friends, it makes us love him more. Isn't it enough to love and to serve and to commit yourself and to consecrate yourself as a believer to Jesus Christ to the hilt all your days until death or until Christ comes? Isn't it enough just to know that he bled upon the cross for you? He shed his blood for you? He laid down his life for you? That should be enough, shouldn't it? To yield your whole self a living sacrifice to him. To give him back the life you owe. To be completely dedicated to him. To give up yourself to him, your time for him, your efforts to him, your energy for him, or your talents for him, your skill for him. Hand it all over to him. But in this, he not only did that, he also lived out this perfect life of obedience under God's law. Because you had broken it. And the only way that that could be reversed or overturned, you could be forgiven, is by that precious work of his life. So justification required both. That's why we love him more for it. And justification is also by or through the righteousness of Christ, which has fulfilled God's law for us and actually resides in him. Christ is our righteousness. Whereas pardon is and does not, is by or through his righteousness, does not fulfill God's law, and it does not reside in Christ. This is why we love him, because Christ is our righteousness. He is our peace with God. He is the Prince of Peace and our Lord and Saviour. So has it done this for you more than pardon? More devotion? More passion? More love toward the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you realise that his sin has gone, been remitted, but also righteousness has been granted. My dear friends, are you passionately in love with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? You should be. If you understand this, and if you understand what he has done for you, give up yourself for him, serve him this week, do all you can for him, to love him, to serve others, and to bring this gospel to poor, miserable, wretched sinners.